There's 12 countries involved, but the key issue is how important are they to Australia? I mean, if you look at the trade figures, we actually export more to China than we do to the other 11 TPP countries. So there's a lot of countries involved, but they're not as important to Australia as China is.
So when the trade minister describes it as having a transformational promise, is that not how you'd see the TPP?
If it's going to be transformational, I'd like to see the details of what cuts are going to be in the deal. And as we don't have the deal at the moment, it's hard to be precise, but the rumours coming out of the US, for example, are that they're not going to give any ground on agriculture. And that would be where we'd expect the US to give ground if the deal is going to be transformational for Australia.
The two agreements aren't mutually exclusive in any regard, but if you were to stack the TPP up against this China-Australia free trade agreement, how do you assess them?
The China one comes out very favourably indeed. So as I just mentioned, the US apparently is not going to give any ground on agriculture. It's a very, very different story when it comes to China. So China's offered to give ground on beef, dairy, seafood, horticulture, and the big drops too. They're currently tariffs up to 30%. Over time, they're going to be going down to zero. So it looks to me that China's prepared to give quite a lot of ground on agriculture. The US, not at all.
What is the point then, do you feel, in pushing ahead with TPP negotiations and pushing towards a big agreement?
I'm struggling to see the point. So to the extent that we can get additional concessions over and above the free trade agreements that we already have with 8 of the 11 TPP countries, that's a good thing. But we're not seeing many signs that we're going to get those concessions. So as long as we're not getting those concessions, to me, the motivation for pursuing a TPP falls short.
And we haven't got a free trade agreement with India, and obviously the one with China is yet to come into force. So is it your feeling that really the focus should be switching to these two countries really ahead of some of these other countries which are experiencing, I guess, drop-offs in their growth, unlike what you're seeing in China and India?
There is no doubt that in 10, 20 years' time, the world is going to look like a very different place, and China and India will be much more important. So in terms of where is the future demand for Australia's agricultural exports going to come from, it's going to be from China and India, not from the US and Japan. That's for sure. So I think we need to focus on those countries.
Why is China or India not in the tent with this deal?
Well, that's a good question. And as long as China and India aren't in the tent, then the deal is going to have limited benefits. There's been a lot of modelling that's been done that says that a deal without China suffers. China is the world's largest trading country now. So you need China in the tent if the deal is going to mean something. Why is the TPP being pursued without China? Well, to be honest, it's probably got a lot to do with geopolitics and not with economics. So the US and Japan are keen to use the TPP to cement their place in the Asia Pacific, and that apparently involves excluding China. Now, I don't think that's the right way to go forward, and I don't think it's a particularly wise approach for Australia either.
So we've obviously focused on a lot of the benefits from the China FTA. What do you see as the costs coming back in the other direction?
So for the TPP, we know where the costs are going to be. The US is wanting more protection when it comes to copyright and those sorts of products that we actually are net importers of, which means it's going to come at a cost. Now, what did we give up in the China trade deal? Well, not a lot, frankly. We offered to cut tariffs on textiles, on cars. Well, we already do that for the US and New Zealand and Japan. We gave no ground on Chinese investment from state-owned enterprises. All of that investment still has to go to the Foreign Investment Review Board. So it seems to me that in the TPP, we're giving up quite a lot. In the China deal, we didn't actually give up very much at all.
On that geopolitical point, China is pushing to get its Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank. It's kind of the Asian equivalent of the World Bank. Australia was late to the party. How fine is this balancing act that Australia has to manage between having interests in both the US and China going forward?
Well, in terms of the economic interests, to be honest, it's not a difficult choice. We were late to the party with the AIOB, but at least we signed up as a prospective founding member, and I think that's a very good decision. This new bank provides a desperately needed service, and by being part of that bank, it means that Australia's exports of natural resources like iron ore are going to receive a boost. Also, our services sector, engineering consultancies, architectural services, they're also going to get a boost. So it's certainly in our national interest to be part of the Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank.